This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Very important for a young quarterback to have that center, experience, real call. And make adjustments, to the protections to help and assist that way. So we thought it was critical to get that piece, and Ryan fits that bill, and we're excited to have him. He's been a pro a long time, and he's moved along, the line inside there, so a guard and center. So it's good to have that position flex as well. But yeah, that's a critical piece.
It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Devs Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about Ryan Bates, who might be the Bears' starting center this year. Feels more guardish to me. Then you have Coleman Shelton on the roster. So we're probably going to see a competition for that position unless they spring it on us in camp and just go with one guy, which I would kind of prefer considering that they have a rookie quarterback no matter who it is. And in this case, it's Caleb Williams. So I am personally uncomfortable with that situation. Are you uncomfortable with that, with a rookie quarterback, considering all the issues the Bears have had in the past developing a quarterback? Different regime, I get it, all of that. But the center position is not locked down, and it certainly was a disaster in the past few years because of the Lucas Patrick signing.
Not yet. I mean, Ryan Bates has played a good amount of football in this league. Shelton's played a good amount of football in this league. And
he's played a lot more center, by the way.
A lot more center than Bates has, yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's possibilities that one of them could at least steady and stabilize that position more so than we've seen in recent years. And as much as anything, man, I mean, I think that Shane Waldron is a guy who can help to stabilize that position as well. I mean, as long as they're getting the snaps back there consistently, if you're calling an offense that consistently takes pressure off of your line, we know the other four guys on the field can be very effective run blockers. We've seen that
absolutely
in recent years from all four of the other guys, both guards, both tackles. They can move people at the line of scrimmage, and even the outside zone scheme. Braxton Jones is probably the least physically imposing of the other four guys that we might describe there, but he's exceptional in space. And so Shane Waldron gets a feel for that. and can call a varied and versatile rushing attack and set up some play action opportunities for a young quarterback, then I think the center position is one that out of any of the five up front, you know, I mean, we love Olin, but the center position is the one that you can kind of, you know, piecemeal things around a bit when you need to. That's the spot that you can kind of get away with. You know, it'd be great to have 11 dominant players on the field, but in your hierarchy, the center position is the one that if you need to hide one, if you do have one who's less effective, you can find a way to always have the center, or at least consistently have the center, be in more of a help position when necessary.
I am so uncomfortable with that. I mean, that's a reasonable response, but we have seen the Lucas Patrick thing, which just didn't work out.
Right.
Cody Whitehair bouncing footballs when they put him in at center. And eventually, poor Cody got benched. I'm glad that he is still playing. Sam Mustipher. God bless Sam Mustipher because he was such a good guy in that locker room and he did everything that they asked him to do. And that's a guy you want on your team. But it did, like, that concept seemed to have to prevail through the locker room or through this organization that we're gonna get you some good guards. We're gonna go out and sign Nate Davis. All of a sudden, Tevin Jenkins is a revelation at left guard. Braxton Jones still improving, and then Darnell Wright looks like he's gonna be an absolute stud. I cannot go with the idea of you can compensate for the lack of a center. Not anymore. Not just because of the center, but because of those guys that we have seen this and they have hurt the team. Let's hear from Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, who I had on the podcast. I had him on the Daily Score podcast that I do, which, and it will air in full actually on Monday. So you're getting a little sneak preview of the pod right now.
I like
but
it.
This was Brian Baldinger's take on the Bears center situation.
It's not ideal. It's not. You're as strong as your center. I mean, just are. The center, there's a lot of centers that went in the draft this year for a good reason. Ryan Bates, I know Ryan Bates, he was a free agent out of Penn State, played guard in Buffalo, try hard guy, and I've never seen him play center. I'm not saying, I don't know if he can or can't. I've never seen him play it. Not the NFL, maybe at Penn State he did. Coleman's a left-handed center, has started in Los Angeles. I don't think it's a strong position right now. Not, I just don't. I think it's, for a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, you'd love to have a veteran center. Love to have a guy that is going to be firm in the middle, pocket's not going to get pushed. They're going to make all the calls. It's going to be another guy calling the blitzes and the pressures and the fronts out of just experience. It is not ideal, and I'm not here to say Coleman can't do it. He has started. Ryan Bates has been a starter. I haven't seen him play center. Maybe he becomes a good center, but I don't think it's a position of strength for the Bears right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I think he's coming at it from the slightly different angle in that, you know, my thing is that I'm not comfortable with those guys necessarily, but it's more of they don't know who it's going to be unless they do have in their head.
Between the two, my guess is Coleman Shelton.
I would think so, but you heard Eberflus talking about coming into this segment, talking about Ryan Bates fits the bill, that he's that
sure.
type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing they hope they're all good. I mean, you know, if they go too deep on game day, they're going to hope all the starters and the backups can all play at a high level. So I don't think we're going to be short of quotes we can find. If someone has directly asked Matt Eberflus about a guy, he's going to find,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
hey,
who's
Matt,
good?
What
oh,
do you think
oh,
about
sure,
Doug Kramer?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that Doug Kramer. He's having a great offseason. I mean, he's
oh,
going,
man.
There's going to be something positive Matt Eberflus can say about everyone who's on the roster at the moment. So I don't think him saying something positive about Ryan Bates means that is the favorite to start at the center position. He may end up starting. And I don't disagree with Baldy. I don't think it's a position of strength, but I don't believe that going into the season right now without a definitive tooth-kicking center who you just know will be able to dominate the interior on the offensive line against the interior of that defensive front, that means the offense may fall apart into shambles, because that's where the rest of the offense does need to step forward. Every team has a mullet. That's what Charles Haley used to call it. When he was coaching us on the defensive line with the Detroit Lions, Charles Haley said, we got to find that mullet. Sometimes the mullet, I guess, apparently, I see your inquisitive look
yeah,
on your face.
I'm thinking of long, short on the sides, long in the back. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. Bears.
Thank you, Tyler. I think that the way Charles would describe it to us is the mullet is sort of a worthless fish. You know, if you're a fisherman and you're trying to figure out what's the best fish we can find, if you're going to Boston and you're fishing for something, or if you're out in Seattle and you're trying to catch a good fish, don't catch the mullet. Apparently, it is worthless. It doesn't taste good.
So Charles Haley walking around saying, "You're the mullet, man."
That's what you find him on film. You watch the film and you figure out whether it's the right tackle, whether it's the left guard, whether it's the center, whether it's if they get into a tight formation and there's multiple tight ends. Which tight end is shivering in his timbers because he does not want to block anyone and he cannot wait for the ball to get snapped and to olay somebody for penetration into the backfield? So your center may be your mullet. That doesn't mean the entire offense has to fall apart because of that, though. I get that. That's really more my point. I don't think center is a position of strength for the Bears either. Out of the five offensive linemen, you put the best five on the field. My guess is the fifth out of those best five is probably going to be whoever plays center, whether it's Bates or Shelton. That being said, though, it doesn't mean the offense can't function with that being the situation. That's why Shane Waldron has to be on top of things. That's why, at times, the playmaking ability of Caleb Williams may need to be on display in those scenarios also. And schematically, when you got two good rock-solid guards next to you, and my bigger concern, they're real thin up front. They don't have a lot of depth that we can count on. That's my bigger concern. But if they find their best five and you say, you know what? We got to make sure we don't leave Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton one-on-one. We got to make sure we're sliding protection. We got to make sure there's extra hands available to them. Baldy mentioned wanting a vet in front of a rookie QB. Both these guys are vets. They're not Pro Bowl vets, but both have played a lot of football in the National Football League. Both should have no problem identifying the mic and calling out protections and making sure everybody's lined up properly up front.
Yeah.
The mental aspect of the game should not be an issue for either of those guys, whoever starts at center.
Yeah, we're going to let it play out.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see, Flutie. I think there's a chance it'll play out. Right? And my guess is it'll end up being Coleman Shelton, and that's where, whoever it is, whichever guy it is, and who knows, there's a chance they could sign a vet. When they first signed Ryan Bates, and folks on the stage, can you get away with Ryan Bates being the center? I said, it doesn't matter yet. There's still so much time between now and the season, they're probably going to sign another guy. They did. They went out and signed Coleman Shelton. Now, Coleman Shelton is not some world beater either, but as of right now, you have multiple options who have played a lot of football in the NFL. One of these guys will likely end up being your starter. I think it's more likely Shelton than Bates.
Yeah.
And then once they're out there, if they're not individually dominant, you can still run a functional NFL offense without every player taking the field being individually dominant, even the center.
And as I think about this, too, it's probably the route that Ryan Poles had to go with in some ways from a financial standpoint as well, because Tevin Jenkins' contract comes up at the end of this year. They got to decide if they want to extend him, and my gut is that they will, but they're going to wait. I think they're going to make Tevin sweat this thing out for the rest of the year, and maybe hopefully for Tevin's sake and the Bears' sake, quite frankly, that they get an extension done with him. Luckily,
that depends on a bunch of things, right? I mean, like if he plays 17 games and is a Pro Bowler, then you can make him one of the top paid guards in football. If he plays 5 games and looks okay in those 5 games and he's still some big injury concern, then it wouldn't make sense to try to re-sign him for some kind of big contract. There's a lot for Tevin Jenkins to prove.
No, you're right. Absolutely. This is a huge year for Tevin Jenkins. Eventually, if Darnell Wright continues in the direction that he was in last year, and he's still got a little ways to go before he is a completely perfect right tackle, you're going to pay him. You're already paying big bucks to Nate Davis. Mm-hmm. So I guess then Braxton Jones will come up after next year. So they'll have to decide what they want to do with the left tackle position. So I guess there is some of it that they have to be a little bit reasonable. And Ryan Poles has shown that he knows what he's doing when it comes to the offensive line. We can debate the Braxton Jones thing all day. Like I was pretty astonished that they put him at left tackle. He's not a great left tackle, mm-hmm. but he has been, you know, good enough, I suppose, and a revelation considering he was a fifth-round pick. The decision...
He is at least average, probably better than average.
Yeah, okay. I can go with that. And then the decision to put Tevin Jenkins at guard was a smart one. I thought he was crazy. I was like, what are you doing? This was a second round pick, a slam dunk tackle. He's massive. This is what Tevin Jenkins does. And that might have been the plan if Ryan Pace had maintained his job when they got rid of Charles Leno, the former seventh rounder. But he is, in so many ways, Ryan Poles is suddenly here in his third year, earning the benefit of the doubt with so many. We know he's made mistakes, but I do look at it and I say, okay, I mean, I got to trust you a little bit. I am just the guy that touches the ball on every single play working with that rookie quarterback. That's just what makes me a little bit nervous. But to your point as well, I guess these guys, they are veterans and they're not going to make the blockbuster mistake. They're going to make mistakes because that's what happens, but not the blockbuster ones.
I need health from that group up front as much as anything. And, you know, I don't know whether Bates or Shelton, if they come in and they're healthy for 17 games, and that'll be an upgrade out of what we've seen from the entire group so far. I mean, the rookie right tackle, Darnell Wright, was the only guy who at least, and he wasn't even healthy, but at least played the entire season. Braxton Jones was out for a big chunk. Tevin Jenkins is always out for big chunks. Nate Davis, for both personal and physical reasons, out for huge chunks of the season. They need that group to be healthy. That's why at the moment, I'm a little surprised they haven't insulated the offensive line a little more than they have right now. And again, you know, I know we all, with understandable reasons, want like everything to be fixed right now immediately. And that's not the most practical way to go about really building a sustainable roster. But I do anticipate we'll see more veteran offensive linemen come in. Now, they've already gone with the free agent, trade and, you know, the acquisition of multiple veterans who are likely to play center. So you maybe don't add another center unless there's just a really good opportunity for you out there, because they haven't given either guy, neither Bates nor Coleman, Shelton is getting great money or whatever. So if some big-time veteran center hits the streets because of some cap reason, I'm sure they'll consider it. But at the moment, I think what's more likely is insulate yourself at guard more, insulate yourself at tackle more, because you do need more depth at those spots to be acquired from elsewhere. Now, maybe Doug Kramer turns into something. Saw his entire career at Illinois, watching a little bit of what he's doing with the Bears when he's been healthy. He hadn't been healthy very much so far. So who knows? Maybe there's some development that is there to come from some of these other young late-round picks that you can be hopeful about. But in the end, none of those guys, none of the starters have shown they can maintain health. That, to me, is a bigger concern right now than actually the centers who are currently on the roster. I need more depth at tackle and guard. That, to me, is a bigger issue.
What's the problem with Doug Kramer? Because they like him enough to have had him on their roster. They cut him. They brought him back. They like having him around. But when he wasn't able to get a sniff at center last year, when all of their centers were failing in some way, shape, or form, I was like, all right, they like something about him, but there's obviously some sort of fatal flaw at this point that they have no interest in putting Doug Kramer in a game. What does he lack at this point? Just experience? Or
I mean, I think it's one of those things where we, and it happens at every level of the sport, where we look at who's in the game and if things aren't going well and just assume that the backup or the guy we're not watching mess up in the game must be better. We got to remember, these coaches are looking at these guys every single day. So if we're comparing Doug Kramer with anyone who started a game at center for the Bears last season, it doesn't mean the Bears don't think Doug Kramer has potential, but it means they definitely think the guys they're putting in the game give them a better chance to win, give them a better chance to either snap the football back to Justin Fields accurately, or after the ball gets snapped, to try and stalemate or win their assignment as a blocker on the interior of the offensive line. So Doug Kramer is a developmental guy. Maybe this season is a different scenario than what we saw last year. But last season, whether it was Lucas Patrick or Cody Whitehair or anyone else who's been out there, you know, I mean, there's a reason they were out there instead of Doug Kramer.
Yeah. I mean, he's not too small, is he, Kramer?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, he's not a juggernaut in there, but no, he's not too small.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe still, I mean, that does make sense.
He's a young football player. He's just a couple of years removed from playing Big Ten football with the Illini. He's a developmental guy. He's still developing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, another guy too, like while we're talking about developmental guys, I have a feeling that is going to be the case with their fifth round draft pick, Austin Booker, out of Kansas. I mean,
exciting traits.
Yeah. Oh, man. But you were not the rookie. No, you were not the rookie camp. Nope. I did not see the presence.
You and I usually hang out when I show up.
I know. Yeah. Hopefully I get to that one day where you come out to camp and you and I hang out together, go get a bag lunch and sit at the cafeteria table.
It's always a great time.
Big Ed, what's up? Come on over here, man.
Then I just disappear and do my Mitchie shuffle out the door.
yes, you do. But yeah, Austin Booker, he, as Mark Potash put, I'm stealing this from him. I'm glad I remember, because I was standing next to him watching on the sidelines with 50 other reporters, by the way, 50 plus. It was unbelievable. Mm. But we're looking at him, and Potash is looking at me and going, look at that guy, man. He looks the part. 6'5", 240, you know, lean muscle. He looks the part, but my guess is that you may not see a lot of him out there. I think you'll see, I mean, hey, if they were able to you know, put Dominique out there, then, and I'm missing his last name right
Robinson.
Now. Thank you, Dominique Robinson. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Wilkins. I've at any given moment, I've got the 80s
the
and 90s.
The human highlight reel.
I can't get the 80s and 90s out of my brain ever. It's a real problem, something I have to deal with on a daily basis. Uh-huh. But, I mean, if they were able to put him in, I think that Austin Booker is going to be put in situations where that are obviously completely favorable to him. I don't know if he's going to get a full boat this year, maybe kind of a red shirt type season. But we could talk more about the Bears and Austin Booker and the rest of the draft picks a little bit later on. But coming up next, as promised, let's get back to the Chicago Cubs, and we'll ask Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network, how are they going to handle Kyle Hendricks? Is this it for Hendricks after another poor outing where he allowed 7 earned runs today? It's Anthony Herron and Mark Grody on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Not the results, obviously, but to be honest, I thought I made 2 bad pitches, you know, which is crazy to look at that start and say that. But yeah, I thought the homer and then the Gonzalez double were 2 bad changeups. Other than that, I mean, I thought I was even better down in the zone. I thought I executed maybe better than my last start. So just bizarre. So many soft hits falling in front. So just got to stick with the process, stick with down in the zone, stick with executing, and hopefully that's got to switch, you know.
It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Kyle Hendricks kind of giving the indication that he feels like he's okay, that he felt good today. Not a lot of hard contact, as he said, and that is true. A lot of ground balls. I talked about that first inning. Gives up a leadoff single, followed by three ground outs. And I thought, okay, maybe this is a Kyle Hendricks game. But he went on to give up seven runs over 4 2/3, four strikeouts, didn't walk anybody. He was talking about the home run that he gave up to Jared Triolo, the two-run blast that made it 2-0 when Craig Counsell was on the broadcast at that time.
Just doesn't look like the guys are guessing at all. Not, you know, even though it's not hard, it's not pop-ups, they're not fouling them back. Yeah, they're not hitting them over the fence all the time, but it's, you know, guys are at least, even though he's not throwing hard usually throughout his career, guys will look uncomfortable in the box, like where Hendricks has them guessing. Nobody looks like they're guessing against Kyle Hendricks right,
right
now.
Not seeing as many guys out in front on the changeup.
Yeah.
Did see him utilizing the curveball a little bit early in the game today, which is, you know, that's just been a, I don't know how to describe it, kind of a conflict pitch for him through the years, whether he's using the curveball or not. He was using it a little bit today. But let's find out from a guy who covers the Cubs every single day of his life, virtually. He was out at Wrigley Field today watching the Cubs, who did end up losing to the Pirates 9-3. A lot of it was because of Paul Skeens, the young Pirates phenom, who went six innings of no-hit ball, 11 strikeouts and one walk, struck out the first seven guys he faced today. He was amazing, and obviously being young, they weren't going to let him stay in there to try to complete the no-hitter, which I'm sure he may have done. So Cubs fans got a reprieve in that regard. But Andy Martinez covered the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network. He joins us now on The Score. Andy, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So jump in on our Kyle Hendricks conversation, and specifically the part where Kyle Hendricks, you may have heard the soundbite coming in, essentially saying that he feels like he's okay, that he might be close, and that maybe if he had had a little bit better baseball luck today, things would have gone well. Do you buy that?
Yeah. So actually, I was listening to you guys on my commute back home after the game, and I was like, I feel like I share a lot of the same sentiments in the sense, like, I get what he's saying, right? Of the 11 hits he gave up, six of them had an exit velocity of 90 miles an hour or less. Like, those are the ones where you tip your cap, right? Like, that's what Kyle Hendricks does. He induces weak contact. If you're going to give up six hits like that, you tip your cap. But then there was the other five that were greater than that, and that's the worrisome part. I thought I agree wholeheartedly with the first three innings. I'm like, we're getting an old-fashioned pitcher's duel. Mm-hmm. We're getting power from Skeens, and we're getting finesse from Kyle Hendricks. And then that home run happened in the fourth, and you're kind of like, okay, like we'll see how it goes for Hendricks. And I was talking with Tony Andracki, our other Cubs writer for Marquee Sports Network, after the game, and we're talking like, this is one of those outings where when Kyle Hendricks is at his best, right? If it was a year ago, 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever, right? Pick your year that Kyle Hendricks is having success. These were the outings that happened, just natural tendencies of who he is as a pitcher, right?
Yes.
He's going to give up hard. He's going to occasionally give up some games like this where, just because of who he is as a pitcher, he's going to get hit around. Those outings happen. But when it happens this year with the struggles that he has had, it gets magnified even more, right? Like those outings just can't happen when you are having the difficulties that you're having, like that Kyle Hendricks is having. I still think they just need him to cover innings, right? I was also discussing this in the sense, like, yes, you could move him off of the rotation and bring in like Ben Brown or Hayden Wesneski or Jordan Woods coming off the IL potentially soon. Like, yes, you could move one of those guys in. But the problem with those guys is, like, they are young and they're going to have an innings load, right? That the Cubs are going to try and manage. So, I mean, we're looking at like Kate Horton too in AAA. He's pitched 88 innings last year. Like, what's a realistic jump for him innings wise in 2024? Maybe max 110, and he's already at 28 in AA/AAA. Like, you have to cover innings somehow at the end of the day, right? Like, you still have to pitch nine innings in a game. Where do you get those from? Like, Kyle Hendricks still has to be a piece of that. And, you know, the next two outings, at least I think, are crucial to see like what you're getting, because you can't just solely rely on these young guys. Because even like Asad and Imanaga, who have been your two best pitchers, Asad pitched 110 innings last year. You can't expect him to jump up to 160, 180 innings realistically this season. And Shota Imanaga, it's his first season in Major League Baseball. Like, there's still that transition for him too. So it's a really precarious situation they're in with Kyle Hendricks.
I love the direction you're going with that, because there are a variety of factors in how and when to decide if the Cubs pull the plug, essentially, on Kyle Hendricks in one way or another, if he's not a consistent member of the rotation anymore. And his legacy as a great Cubs pitcher is a part of that, understandably so. But then the position the squad around him is in matters within that a lot as well. Delve into that a little bit deeper with us, Andy, between the injuries on the staff and how Kyle Hendricks matters within that, the start to last season coming back from injury and then improving throughout the year. How do you see the whole picture of that puzzle? None of us know for sure when they would be willing to do it, but delve a little deeper on the factors in that decision.
Yeah, I think it's not so much like as much as I see the reaction on Twitter, social media, whatever, where it's like, you just got to give up on him. Like, his time is fast. This was still a guy who was a really good major league pitcher last year, right? Like, I think it was his first or second outing after missing a ton of time with the capsular tear. He almost throws a no-hitter against the Giants in San Francisco. Like there's still remnants of a really good pitcher in there. And I thought the last outing in Pittsburgh was the first step in the right direction. He pitched five innings and kept the team in the ball game. Like, I thought that was the turning point. And then this outing kind of, like, it does raise alarm bells, but you kind of do give him that runway, right? Because he has done it. He has 10 plus years of major league experience. This isn't a rookie who is like, yeah, this is a soft tosser who it's his first time in the major leagues. Like, he knows what he has to do. He knows how to figure it out. Like, you have to give him that time. And you also have to give him that time because, as you mentioned, there's a ton of injuries, right? They have eight guys on the IL. Like, you can't just bring up a guy from the minor leagues, like I mentioned, and just throw him in the rotation. Like, you have to give him continue to give him a runway. Like, now, am I saying the runway's up until September? Probably not, right? Like, it's definitely a shorter leash than it would be for if he was going well or if you had other options. Like, you have to give him that runway, but it's also not like an infinite runway by any means.
Yeah, Grody, you can't just throw Doug Kramer in at center. You got to see if Lucas Patrick will eventually figure it out.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that, as our guest Andy Martinez is indicating, this man has earned the benefit of the doubt.
Lucas Patrick, not so much?
Yeah, slightly. Like, if you look at the resume, I'll get you some bullet points at some point in time on some of the accomplishments.
Research the professor
a bit. Yeah, absolutely. I got all these charts over here. I'll cut off a little piece of paper here and send it over to you. But yeah. I mean, he has certainly earned the benefit of the doubt in terms of what he has done. And as you put very well, Andy, that it was just last year that he did have one of his vintage Kyle Hendricks performances for sure. And we are talking to Andy Martinez, Cubs writer and reporter for the Marquee Sports Network. You can follow him on X at @AMartinez_11. We absolutely have to ask you about Paul Skeens, because we've seen him up close now twice. Both of his starts have been against the Cubs. Unbelievable today with six shutout innings, did not allow a hit, 11 strikeouts, one walk, struck out the first seven batters before PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, finally put a ball in play. What do you think of Paul Skeens?
I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole to say I think that might be the best pitching performance we'll see at Wrigley potentially this year, right? Like, I mean, anything could happen in this game. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there could be a no-hitter or something crazy could happen at Wrigley Field between now and the end of the season. But that was just truly dominant. That was, like, special, right? That's you hear all the hype. You hear all the hoopla surrounding prospects sometimes, and everyone's always talked about the jump to the major leagues is different, right? From AAA to the major leagues is the biggest gap you'll make. And at least in that second outing that he made today, Paul Skeens looked phenomenal. I mean, he was first seven guys he strikes out. I remember, I'm like, I don't know how the Cubs are going to get a hit off this guy, and they never did, right? I mean, the stuff was nasty. That I don't know if it's a splitter, it's a sinker. He calls it a splinker. That 95 mile an hour pitch that is that functions as a splitter slash sinker is, I think, phenomenal. He kind of relied on just those two pitches, that four-seam fastball that touches triple digits, that's 100, 102, and then that splinker that's like 95 miles an hour. And Mike Talkman, PCA, Pete Carl Armstrong talked about it after the game, where it's like that pitch just drops off, right? It tunnels really well. Like, for almost the whole time it's out of his hand, it looks like a fastball, and then at the last second it just darts down. Like, that's hard to hit. That's really, really tough to do. And he made adjustments from that first outing, right, where he wasn't as crisp as he was today. He made some adjustments, kind of relied more so on just those two pitches. And, I mean, it worked, right? You couldn't have drawn up a better start if you were Derek Shelton and the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, that was really, really good. Like, if you were a pure baseball fan, I know if you're a Cubs fan, you probably didn't want to see that. But if you're a pure baseball fan and you went to the game, like, that was fun to watch and to consume for sure.
Andy, my impression, I was talking about this a little bit with Speaks yesterday. My impression is that Craig Counsell is managing the Cubs with the full scope of the season, taking it into account right now. We see a lot of times where maybe he's pulling a starter when things are going well, but not wanting to get that pitch count up a little bit, not rushing guys like Nico Hoerner back when they're, you know, suffering some soft tissue issues. It does seem to me, maybe even the Kyle Hendricks decision right now could be viewed as a part of that factor as well. Let's make sure we're giving, you know, some long leash before making what would end up being a long-term decision. If you're going to sit a guy like Kyle Hendricks down here, what do you make of the level of urgency, or, you know, perhaps the lack of urgency that Craig Counsell may be managing things with? My impression right now is that he wants this to be a squad that finishes strong down the stretch this season, just after a year where we saw a Cubs team that was really pressing hard and then fizzled late. My impression is that he's trying to take the long view of what this season can be. Are you seeing anything along those lines?
No, I agree 100%, and I know we're on radio, but I was nodding the whole time agreeing with you. Like, that is exactly kind of
how I heard you nodding, Andy.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that's exactly how it's felt to me. Like, there's been situations where I'm like, well, why doesn't he go to, like, Mark Leiter Jr. here, or why doesn't he bring in a pinch hitter here? Like, why doesn't he, like I'm almost thinking to myself, like if this was September 14th, right, and the Cubs need a win because it's a crazy tight division race and they need to win, why aren't you pulling out all the stops? Well, you can't do that every single day in April and May and June, because come September 14th, come September 15th, come the end of September, you're going to run guys to the ground. I think it's really, really interesting how he's using a lot of these guys. It's really fascinating as they've kind of hit this bump in the road where they've been struggling a little bit here in May, how guys like Hector Neris and Mark Leiter Jr. have hardly been used. And that's one thing I've always really taken note of with Counsell, especially when he was in Milwaukee. Like, Devin Williams, Josh Hader, when the Brewers weren't winning, he was not even thinking about bringing those guys in, right? Like, those guys were, I mean, break in case of emergency type of thing. Like, those guys were in glass cases that you were not using them. You were only using them to protect close leads. And if you were up 10-0, they weren't being brought in either. We're seeing that with Leiter and Neris, and before he landed on the injured list, Yancy Almonte too. They went in today just because they hadn't pitched in a few days and you want to keep them fresh and the bullpen was a little thin. But that's something that I think is so maybe like small, but it's going to benefit them in the long term. If you think about last year where the crux of the bullpen was Michael Fulmer, Mark Leiter Jr., Julian Merriweather, and Adbert Alzolay. And by the end of the season, the only guy who was healthy and not on the IL was Julian Merriweather. Like, it caught up to them. And what's the right method in terms of like going all in with your relievers and maybe punting a game, quote unquote, to try and win three more games later on in the year? Like, how do you balance that? I don't know, but it seems like this is what's worked for Craig Counsell and he's okay with doing it. And it's at least keeping these guys somewhat fresh early on in the season.
Cubs and Pirates rematch tomorrow, Andy. Another 120 game, which you could hear right here on the Score with the pregame starting at 12:40. Cubs and Pirates, and it is a Shota Imanaga day. 5-0 with a 0.96 ERA. I think every single time I talk about Shota with somebody, I always like feel like I have to give the disclaimer of, well, you know, he's not going to keep this up forever. what's real about Shota Imanaga? And I guess he's not going to have an ERA under one when the season is over, but I don't know, man. How legitimate is this start to the season for Shota Imanaga?
Yeah, it's tough to say. Like, I think there's a lot of it that is legitimate. I'm with you. There's no way you can keep a sub-1 ERA. Like, if he does, like, I don't – that obviously that's a Cy Young and Rookie of the Year. And,
yeah, everything.
But, like, it's going to be a great season, right? But, like, my money is on he's probably not doing that this season. Like, it's really, really remarkable what he's been doing, and I'm with you where it's like – I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be the outing where maybe things fall apart and it kind of regresses to the norm, right, quote-unquote, as the phrase goes. It has yet to happen. Like,
yeah.
He has just been really, really good every single time out. And it was interesting. Craig Counsell was asked about this, I believe, on Thursday and talked about it a little bit. Like, the benefit of this balanced schedule is you're not seeing teams as frequently, especially in the division. Like, the Cubs didn't play their first division game until recently when they played the Pirates. And, like, you're not seeing opponents the same time over. And in Shota Imanaga's case, like, Major League hitters have not seen him for the most part. Obviously, played a little bit in the WBC. They might have seen a little bit there, some of those guys. They're not seeing him. So it's different. It's a unique look. It's a very tough fastball that rises up on hitters that's tough to pick up. And then a really, really good splitter that is not a pitcher. It's not a pitch that a lot of lefties throw. So it's really, really hard to pick up. So it's a really unique mix. And by the way, you're not seeing him very often. Like, I think that's what's kind of leading to some of the success too. I'm curious, like, now he's facing the Pirates, and now he's going to face some of these teams again and again. Like, do we start seeing some adjustments? Does the league start catching up? I don't know. Like, he's kind of relied a lot on fastball splitter, at least early on. Like, does he start breaking up the slider and the curveball that he has? Like, or is that maybe how he combats the league adjusting to him? That's what's going to be curious. But at least right now, like, if you're a Cubs fan, and the Cubs, I'm sure, are taking it, like, you ride it out as long as you can, because this is truly dominant stuff, right? This is not something you see every day. And they're getting that out of two guys, in him and Javier Assad, which is crazy to think of. I don't think anyone would have thought that when the season began.
Nope, and nor would we have thought that Justin Steele would be struggling as he has been, and I get it, you know, give him a little time, still coming off the DL and all that. We didn't think Kyle Hendricks would struggle as much as he has. So it has been interesting that these guys like Assad and Imanaga and, you know, guys that you mentioned, Ben Brown and Hayden Wesneski, have kept the Cubs afloat. I just hope that it doesn't come undone, but I know the reinforcements are coming. And Andy, always love having you on, man. I appreciate you jumping on a Friday night.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Yep, absolutely. That's Andy Martinez, writer and reporter for the Marquee Sports Network, along with Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody. When we come back, the good and the bad of our guy, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, coming up next on The Score.
Jared Triolo stands in, lines one into center, a base hit. This is going to drive in a run as the throw to the plate by Pete Crow Armstrong way over the head. And rounding third and coming in to score is Telez. Ending up at third on the play is Jared Triolo. So two-run score on the play, and the Pirates now lead 5-0.
It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
I remember seeing you on the orange carpet that time, man. You were in your glory.
Oh, yeah.
On the orange carpet.
That
you looked good that night. I think it was the first time I'd seen you in a blazer.
Yeah.
And you were all slim and trim. I remember walking up to you like, look at Mark Grody.
That was the Bears' 100th anniversary, right?
Yep.
The big party in Rosemont.
So that's the Grody we're going to get back to
here? Just telling Big Ant, you know, the old weight. I am your classic weight fluctuator.
Okay.
I am not as obese as I can be. Or as I have been in the past, where, like, I get
You're not
to,
as American. Just insert American into obese.
Yes. So when the alarm bells really start going off is when I hit 220. I'm just about 6 feet tall. I'm like a hair under 6 feet tall. So 220 is a terrible look on me. I'm about 205.
Did you dunk on Caleb
right
Williams?
Now. Yeah, of course.
Wasn't that your thing from the combine? Like, oh, Caleb is tiny.
Well, it was from
Can't
a
believe
distance.
How small this guy is.
You know what it was now?
Bears should pass.
Since you're bringing this up and you're busting my bees, here's what it was for me. It just felt like he is this this superstar, almost superhero type of figure that we've built up. And when I was at the combine in the big hallway.
The number one pick. He should be a mountain of a man.
That's what it was.
Like, what was it? Frank Kush from Jerry Maguire? Like where Kush walks in the room and he's towering over Jerry Maguire. Okay. He just looked like this mountain of a man.
Right.
Have you not seen Jerry Maguire? Well, I feel like you're not picking up what I'm putting down.
That movie was in, 1989 or something like that? I saw it once. There's certain movies that I've seen that I can't reference.
All right,
so.
I thought you were like the movie buff.
Show me the money.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry I broke your train of thought.
I'm sorry.
So you expected him to be enormous.
You know, it was like when I met Eddie Vedder for the first time. Years ago, and the old school Cubs cafeteria, people don't know what I'm talking about. It's just a small, maybe it's the same. I haven't been there in a long time. And Eddie Vedder was in there all alone, and I walked in there, and I towered over Eddie Vedder, and I was upset about it. I was upset because you see this guy.
I shouldn't be taller than my heroes.
He's up there grinding it out, and you know, Eddie Vedder grunge style, and I'm towering over this guy. I'm like, wait a minute.
I can fit Eddie Vedder in my pocket. That's not how this is supposed to go.
I didn't want it to.
He should be huge.
Yeah.
He looks huge on stage.
I didn't want it to be like that. Mm. So no, I don't think Caleb Williams is too short to play football in the National Football League. So
I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Enough with that. PCA, look, he's having like the classic, and I know he played some last year, but he's a rookie. And so he's having the classic rookie season, I think. Like last year when he came up, he was just bad. I mean, like he wasn't able to hit fastballs, and I understand it, and who cares about that? This year, he's been like the classic, like today was a perfect example of it. Like he overthrows the airmailed that ball from center field. I was like, well, he's got a hell of an arm, that's for sure. But an extra run scores on PCA's watch for sure. He was the first person to make contact against Paul Skeens today, so I give him a little bit of credit on that. And he's done some really nice things. I think it might have been the game on Wednesday that he had a triple in the eighth inning where you're like, oh my God, the speed from first to third was just unbelievable. He's probably one of the fastest guys. As a matter of fact, I think it was the fastest from home plate to third base this season that PCA put together. And then he also,
according to Cubs broadcaster Matt Spiegel, yes, it was the fastest that any Cub has been tracked running the bases this season.
There it is. And that guy, Spiegs, Cubs broadcaster, by the way, he's doing pre and post in the fifth inning on Sunday.
So I have heard.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that. Now, where Cubs broadcaster Matt Spiegel, I think, was off his rocker a little bit earlier this week, he was very strong in his thought that Ian Happ needed to be sat down for like a good week or more. I disagreed with that vehemently because it just seemed to me that Ian Happ certainly isn't Kyle Hendricks, but he has been a long tenured Cub. He's been a quality player. I mean, he earned the contract that he's gotten here, and it's still so damn early in the season, man.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I agree with Spiegs on this one. He gets in his head. Remember, it was 2019, May of 2019, when Ian Happ was sent back down to the minors. Mm-hmm. And obviously he was not, he'd only been around for a couple of years at that point, but he was pissed about that. Mm-hmm. And then he came back and had a good year and ended up being an all-star, obviously, a couple of years ago. So sometimes he needs like something like that. And you don't send him down at this point, but to take a couple of days off, comes back, hits a home run. But I don't know if he's had another hit since.
He certainly didn't today.
Nobody did today. We'll give him the excuse today. But he hit the home run early in the game. What about
late in the game
when they had a couple runners in? They got second and third late in the game, and you know, Happ wasn't the only victim late yesterday, but I don't think he had another hit, and he didn't help them in the ninth. So I don't know. I think I guess I'm off my rocker too, if that's where you want to put us. If you want to take us off the rocker.
I don't know if it's the same rocker that you and Spiegs are both off of, but you are both off of, I guess, your own individual rockers in this case. I don't mind. Two games isn't that long. Get him a reset. You know, there's a million baseball games during the season, so a quick reset is one thing. But it is very early in the year. You have a very dinged up lineup.
That's
of
true.
Players.
That's
and,
true.
You know, Ian Happ out there over Pete Crow Armstrong makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I don't need to see Ian Happ riding the pine very much. Let him figure things out in game. You don't got to keep sitting him down a whole lot, which I don't think that we'll see Craig Counsell do.
When we return here, we're going to talk about Scottie Scheffler, who was arrested today. If you didn't hear, I will fill in. I will tell you the absolute latest. We will hear his press conference, or at least a good chunk of it, to hear how he reacted to it, and then we will give you our thoughts on it. And coming up in about 25 minutes from right now or so, our good friend, Alyssa Bergamini, the Bulls pre and post host, the White Sox host, BetQL host, the Bergs does it all, and she interviewed Kevin Garnett. I have not heard it yet, but we're going to get a chance to hear it. Kevin Garnett is a BetMGM
Chicago legend, Kevin Garnett.
That's right. He's a Farragut guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's Chicago. He doesn't really claim Chicago, but
no,
we do.
Understandably so.
We
yeah,
do.
Right.
So that's all coming up here on The Score with Big Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Jared Triolo stands in, lines one into center, a base hit. This is going to drive in a run as the throw to the plate by Pete Crow Armstrong way over the head. And rounding third and coming in to score is Telez. Ending up at third on the play is Jared Triolo. So two runs score on the play, and the Pirates now lead 5-0.
It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
I remember seeing you on the orange carpet that time, man. You were in your glory.
Oh, yeah.
On the orange carpet.
That
you looked good that night. I think it was the first time I'd seen you in a blazer.
Yeah.
And you were all slim and trim. I remember walking up to you like, look at Mark Grody.
That was the Bears' 100th anniversary, right? Yep. The big party in Rosemont.
So that's the Grody we're going to get back to
Just telling Big Ant, you know, the old weight. I am your classic weight fluctuator.
Okay.
I am not as obese as I can be or as I have been in the past, where like I get
You're not
to,
as American. Just insert American into obese.
Yes, yes. So when the alarm bells really start going off is when I hit 220. I'm just about 6 feet tall. I'm like a hair under 6 feet tall. So 220 is a terrible look on me. I'm about 205.
Did you dunk on Caleb Williams?
Right now. Yeah, of course.
Wasn't that your thing from the combine? Like, oh, Caleb is tiny.
Well, it was from
Can't believe how small this guy is.
You know what it was now?
Bears should pass.
Since you're bringing this up and you're busting my bees, here's what it was for me. It just felt like he is this superstar, almost superhero type of figure that we've built up. And when I was at the combine in the big
Heisman,
hallway.
The number one pick. He should be a mountain of a man.
Like,
what was it, Frank Kush from Jerry Maguire? Like where Kush walks in the room and he's towering over Jerry Maguire. He just looked like this mountain of a man.
Right.
Have you not seen Jerry Maguire? Well, I feel like you're not picking up what I'm putting down.
That movie was in, 1989 or something like that? I haven't seen I saw it once. There's certain movies that I've seen that I can't reference.
All right,
so.
I figured, I thought you were like the movie buff.
Show me the money.
Okay, all right, no. I'm sorry I broke your train of thought.
I'm sorry.
So you expected him to be enormous.
You know, it was like when I met Eddie Vedder for the first time. Years ago, and the little Cubs cafeteria, the old school Cubs cafeteria, people don't know what I'm talking about. It's just a small, maybe it's the same. I haven't been there in a long time. And Eddie Vedder was in there all alone, and I walked in there, and I towered over Eddie Vedder, and I was upset about it. I was upset because you see this guy.
I shouldn't be taller than my heroes.
He's up there grinding it out, and you know, Eddie Vedder grunge style, and I'm towering over this guy. I'm like, wait a minute.
I can fit Eddie Vedder in my pocket. That's not how this is supposed to go.
I didn't want it to.
He should be huge.
Yeah.
He looks huge on stage.
I didn't want it to be like that. Mm. So no, I don't think Caleb Williams is too short to play football in the National Football League.
So I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Enough with that. PCA, you know, look, he's having like the classic, and I know he played some last year, but he's a rookie. And so he's having the classic rookie season, I think. Like last year when he came up, he was just bad. I mean, like he wasn't able to hit fastballs, and I understand it, and who cares about that? This year, he's been like the classic, like today was a perfect example of it. Like he overthrows the airmailed that ball from center field. I was like, well, he's got a hell of an arm, that's for sure. But an extra run scores on PCA's watch for sure. He was the first person to make contact against Paul Skeens today, so I give him a little bit of credit on that. And he's done some really nice things. I think it might have been the game on Wednesday that he had a triple in the eighth inning where you're like, oh my God, the speed from first to third was just unbelievable. He's probably one of the fastest guys. I think it was, as a matter of fact, I think it was the fastest from home plate to third base this season that PCA put together. And then he also,
according to Cubs broadcaster Matt Spiegel, yes, it was the fastest that any Cub has been tracked running the bases this season.
There it is. And that guy, Spiegs, Cubs broadcaster, by the way, he's doing pre and post in the fifth inning on Sunday.
So I have heard.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that. Now, where Cubs broadcaster Matt Spiegel, I think, was off his rocker a little bit earlier this week, he was very strong in his thought that Ian Happ needed to be sat down for like a good week or more. I disagreed with that vehemently because it just seemed to me that where, you know, Ian Happ certainly isn't Kyle Hendricks, but he has been a long tenured Cub. He's been a quality player. I mean, he earned the contract that he's gotten here, and it's still so damn early in the season, man.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I agree with Spiegs on this one. He gets in his head. Remember, it was 2019, May of 2019, when Ian Happ was sent back down to the minors.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was not, he'd only been around for a couple of years at that point, but he was pissed about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back and had a good year and ended up being an all-star, obviously, a couple of years ago. So sometimes he needs like something like that. And you don't send him down at this point, but to take a couple of days off, comes back, hits a home run. But I don't know if he's had another hit since.
He certainly didn't today.
Nobody was hitting.
Nobody did today.
We'll give him the excuse today. But he hit the home run early in the game. game yesterday and then late in the game.
Second pitch he saw yesterday went yard.
Yeah, but what about late in the game when they had a couple runners and they got second and third late in the game? And, you know, Happ wasn't the only victim late yesterday, but I don't think he had another hit and he didn't help them in the ninth. So, I don't know. I think I tend to – I guess I'm off my rocker too, if that's what you you want to put us, if you want to take us off the rocker.
I don't know if it's the same rocker that you and Speaks are both off of, but you are both off of, I guess, your own individual rockers in this case. I don't mind – two games isn't that long. Get them a reset. You know, there's a million baseball games during the season, so a quick reset is one thing. But it is very early in the year. You have a very dinged up – lineup.
That's true. That's true.
You know, Ian Happ out there over Pete Crow Armstrong makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I don't need to see Ian Happ riding the pine very much. Let him figure things out in game. You know, I got to keep sitting him down a whole lot, which I don't think that we'll see Craig Counsell do.
When we return here, we're going to talk about Scotty Scheffler, who was arrested today. If you didn't hear, I will fill in. I will tell you the absolute latest. We will hear his press conference, or at least a good chunk of it, to hear how he reacted to it, and then we will give you our thoughts on it. And coming up in about 25 minutes from right now or so, our good friend, Alyssa Bergamini, the Bulls pre and post host, the White Sox host, BetQL host, the Bergs does it all, and she interviewed Kevin Garnett. I have not heard it yet, but we're going to get a chance to hear it. Kevin Garnett is a BetMGM
Chicago
ambassador.
Legend, Kevin Garnett.
That's right. He's a Farragut guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's Chicago. He doesn't really claim Chicago, but we do.
Understandably so.
We do.
Right.
So that's all coming up here on The Score with Big Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.